Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 1057
The Fan. Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw with you on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Ravens, Eric DaCosta, John Harbaugh meeting with the media out at One Winning Drive, which has been going on for the better part of an hour, talking about various subjects, and we'll get to as much as we can over the next 2 hours as we get that info and sound coming your way. And one of these cuts is about a guy that's been taking a lot of heat. Mark Andrews, here's John Harbaugh talking about his tight end.
I'm going to tell you what, like, Mark Andrews is one of the very best football players, one of the most committed football players. Nobody cares more about the success of this football team than Mark Andrews. And that's why, and he made numerous plays in the game up until the plays that everybody's talking about and in the season. And one of my messages to him was, we are not where we're at throughout the course of the season or in the game without the contributions of Mark.
Yeah, and I think most people understand that, fans included. But it's a what have you done for me lately society. And in regards to sports, yeah, if your guy ruins the possible success of your team, you're going to feel it from the fan base. And nobody disagrees, Nolan, that Mark Andrews wants to win as much as anyone that's ever worn a Ravens uniform, because he's been one of their best players. He's in the Ring of Honor, all-time touchdown scorer, but he hasn't been in the Super Bowl. So he and Lamar drafted the same year. Humphrey before that, Ronnie 2 years prior. I mean, a lot of these dudes have been together for a long, long time and have been unable to get over that hump. So nobody's denying that Mark Andrews loves the team and he loves football and he tries his best. And he did make a couple of plays, but he had a couple of significant gaffes that we cannot forget. He had a fumble, which was huge. He dropped a pass that almost led to a fumble, maybe, not absolving Lamar and Linderbaum from blame. And then the drop pass that would have tied the game in a game that a lot of people think the Ravens had no business winning anyway.
Now, here's a question that I haven't taken a deep dive into the full press conference here because we've been on air, but I do wonder if someone asked if, you know, you felt like after the fumble that you wanted to get the ball right back to him. Get him back in the game. Don't let him sit on the bench and feel like, oh, that was it. I just cost the team the game. And I guess they did do that because, as we've mentioned a few times, he had a pretty long catch on the drive before the two-point conversion at the end. So he was still out there. He was still involved. Did they have that in mind when they drew up the two-point play? Because that seemed like it was just, that was Andrews all the way. There wasn't really a secondary choice there. Could be wrong. But that'd be interesting to hear what the head coach would say about that.
Again, we're sitting here on Clark View Road, not at One Winning Drive, but I don't see that being part of the social media responses to some of these questions. But yeah, he was there. Got it right to him, as you said. Isaiah Likely had just scored the touchdown. Maybe he was gassed. I don't know. But the play design kind of had Mark Andrews written all over it. They just didn't execute said play. Ravens finish. Another division championship, second in a row. Your quarterback's probably going to win his second consecutive most valuable player. Third overall. 9 Pro Bowlers. And you did win a playoff game. So Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, would you consider this season a success?
You know, we had higher aspirations and we didn't achieve those aspirations and goals. But I think it was a successful season. I'm very proud of the team, the players, the coaches, support staff, everybody. And I've already moved on. I've started watching tape. I'm immersed in college and pro scouting right now and talking about contracts and negotiations and different things. And that's one, I think for me, that's one of the blessings of my job is it's very seasonal. And I'm in now one of my most favorite seasons. which is the off season, which is not it's a misnomer because it's my busiest time of the year. But I love being a part of the solution, and that's what we'll be.
Well, the off season got here sooner than he anticipated. And when you get to training camp and you list the goals, probably well before that. All right. Get to the playoffs. Win your division. Get home field. Win AFC championship. Go to Super Bowl. So they got to the playoffs, won their division, had home field advantage for one game, won it, but lost in the divisional round, two steps short. So based on preseason goals, it's a disappointment because the bar's high. Like the Jets, disappointing season. Dallas, disappointing season. You know what I mean? Others, disappointing seasons. Giants, Miami, among others. But they're trying to attain the level of success. So if your goal, after accomplishing other things like home field, winning, getting a championship game, which they've done, is to win the Super Bowl based on that criteria, yeah, disappointing season.
And a lot of those teams you listed, you know, if you look at them heading into this offseason, the narrative around them is, well, where do they go from here? Do they need to blow it up? Do they need to hit the reset button, make these big sweeping changes? And sure, I've mentioned it a few times, there's people in the fan base, that Ravens that is, that want to make these big sweeping changes, fire Harbaugh. You know, people don't like Lamar for whatever. You know, it goes on and on and on. But do you really think that that gives you a significantly better chance to win? The real answer is you don't know. We don't know the answer. But I think the safer bet, again, is to run it back with the group you have. Yeah. There's no shame in doing that. Because from DaCosta's perspective, he's sitting there saying, well, what else do I have to add? I mean, a Hall of Fame receiver to go with your three-time MVP quarterback and a Hall of Fame running back? You need more Hall of Famers? I mean, what else do we need out there to finally get over the hump?
Yeah, you think the Bengals look cool with their season? As good as Burrow and Higgins and Jamar Chase are? And I mentioned the Dolphins. Hey, Tyreek Hill wants out. He missed the playoffs for the first time in his career. I'm done. Jets fired their coach. Giants 86, their quarterback. Come on. Most teams would trade places with Baltimore in a heartbeat. Quarterback and organization-wise. All right, Vinny at 81057, the Fed, not to make excuses for him, because I'm as agitated as everybody else that we're talking about the season in the past tense, not previewing the AFC Championship game. When we come back, hopefully we have present-day money with Buy or Sell. We'll talk about sports subjects of the day, and then we're just going to let it flow, man, depending on how the rest of the show goes. We do have Ryan Wilson coming up at 1:15 from CBSSports.com. Preview the championship games with him and talk about the draft. Mel Kiper has a mock draft. Yeah, it's that time of the year, everybody.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan. Woman crush Wednesday. Cold. Cold outside. Below 20. Cold. I've been wearing these knit hats for so long. I'm looking like the dude from the Monkees, Mike Nesmith. I'll let this hair flow, man. I need to get warm a little bit, but hopefully that money's hot and the sports topics are certainly plentiful and ready to percolate. Let's count that dough first, though. Buy yourself.
All right, this might be a first for me, Bob. I'm looking at all green here. Usually when I have to do this, it's the exact opposite. We're always in the red. NASDAQ up 293, S&P 500 up 48.86, DraftKings up 55 cents, Under Armour just barely up, but they are up. 9 cents.
There you go.
It all counts. It all goes
every
in the...
Every penny counts, man. Remember, eggs are going to be free before you know it. Just think about that.
All right, we'll start here with the Eagles. Jalen Hurts had a huge run early in their win over the Rams. 44 of his 70 rushing yards on the afternoon came in that touchdown sprint. But after getting caught under an L.A. defender later in the third quarter, he came up hobbled, needed to take a trip to the medical tent. They put a knee brace on him and was able to finish the game, but clearly not moving around at his best, and even got brought down at one point for a loss. His usual speed was failing him. It wasn't there. Buy or sell, Bob, a less than 100% Hurts can still be effective enough to keep the Philly offense afloat.
But I'll buy it, soft buy it. But has their offense really been rolling anyway outside of Barkley? And they're going against Washington, who just did all sorts of great things against Detroit. Now they forced a ton of turnovers. The last time the Eagles played the Commanders, Hurts got knocked out of the game. Washington turned the ball over five times and still won. But yes, Hurts has enough. There's not going to be 6 inches of snow on the field, I wouldn't think, like it was against the Rams where he got sacked eight times. Let me rethink. Nah, I'll stop by. He'll, I don't know. We'll do our picks on Friday, of course.
Over to baseball, the Red Sox opted to go a different direction at closer this offseason, sending Kenley Jansen back to free agency at the age of 37. His 2024 campaign, it wasn't all-star worthy, but pretty solid overall. 3.29 ERA, had 27 saves in 31 opportunities. From his perspective, well, he wants to keep his career going, being motivated by milestones at this point, mainly the 500 save club. Trevor Hoffman and Mariano Rivera, the only players in league history to accomplish that feat. Jansen currently ranks fourth all-time with 447 saves. Buy or sell, Bob, Jansen will get 53 more than he needs to join that club before his career is over.
He's coming off a good year, not a dominant year. By the way, Hoffman and Rivera both in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if you heard Rivera 100% of the vote. Whatever. I'll sell it. I mean, because Kimbrel was breathing down his neck, and he's starting to get into that Kimbrel bouncing from team to team just to reach milestone. Hey, Goose Gossage did it towards the end of his career, also a Hall of Famer. Fernando Rodney, I think, pitched for every team in the American League, or at least it seemed like it. I'm going to sell that he gets to 53. Remember, converted catcher was Kenley Jansen.
So Lee Smith is third all-time with 478.
Hall of Famer.
We said Jansen was fourth. Kimbrel's fifth, okay. 440. So he's only seven behind Jansen.
And I think Lee Smith's got a lot of bumper stickers on his suitcase, too, including one in Baltimore.
Let's see here. We'll go back to the NFL where the Bengals, their defensive shortcomings cost them a playoff spot this year. No surprise to see them move on from defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo. Among the candidates to replace him is Notre Dame defensive coordinator and former Cincy assistant Al Golden. Seems like kind of a Mike McDonald situation here. He was the Bengals linebackers coach in 2020 and 21, then left for the Notre Dame gig, could possibly be returning within just a few years. Buy or sell, Bob, Golden showed enough during his tenure with the Irish to be considered the right man for the Cincy job.
Well, they forced a lot of turnovers, including one in the championship game against Ohio State. Anarumo winds up now with the Colts, so he lands on his feet, we guess. Yeah, I'll buy that. I mean, they probably helped upgrade the personnel. I know Hendrickson's upset with his contract, so they might have some discord there, not to mention the two wide receivers that are beefing. But the secondary, they went young a couple years ago. It hasn't really panned out for them. But, yeah, come on, Al Golden. Put some mustard on that thing.
How about the Orioles? It might take O's fans a while to get used to seeing Anthony Santander in a Blue Jays uniform, but it also might take him a while to enjoy playing at the Rogers Center, at least for half of his games. He holds a career a 194 batting average in 27 career games at the Rogers Center. The power's still there. 6 homers, 16 RBIs in those 27 games. Be brutally honest, Toronto needs the power surge. Vlad Jr. was the only member of their lineup last year that hit more than 20 homers. He finished with 30. Buy or sell, Bob, Santander will lead the Jays in homers this summer.
Selling it. Jr.'s going to do it. Heading into free agency. Expect an MVP-level season from that guy. But Tony Tater's fan. Again, I'll reiterate, because I've said it 1,000 times, and you could pull it if you want to dig that far. You don't have to, because, you know, I believe you, and I believe me. 3 for $60, said it in February, almost a year ago, for Tony Taters. It's how confident I was in him. And people would call in, if you remember, $20 million a year is too much for Anthony Santander. Now, all of a sudden, he's Frank Robinson, because he signed with Toronto. No, Vlad Jr. will lead them in home runs. Well, but he'll have a good year.
They were right. $20 million was too much. He didn't get it.
Oh.
18 a year.
I was right.
Right.
Shorter term, though.
It would have been an overpay.
You dig around. Well, incentives could get it over 100 mil.
This Haney guy doesn't know what he's doing.
That's true.
Doesn't know how to run a team.
Very correct.
All right, we'll close up shop here in the NFL. Ben Johnson. Well, he was picky last year with his head coaching offers. Not so picky this year, settling on Chicago as his landing spot. The Bears, we know they were very aggressive in their pursuit of him. Kind of the top candidate out there, but he did have interviews with a handful of other teams, including the Jaguars. And I'm reading a piece here for Will Brinson, recently saying and writing that Johnson's decision to join Chicago actually says less about what Chicago had to offer and more to do with what a team like the Jaguars couldn't offer. They almost insinuating that Ben Johnson wanted to choose Jacksonville. He thought highly of that job, but after interviewing, thought it was a bad situation and defaulted back to Chicago. Are you buying or selling that the Bears were not Johnson's first choice?
I mean, I'll buy it because Will Brinson, former friend of the show, he stopped answering our phone calls many, many years ago. But you have Trent Baalke, who is not respected, I guess, throughout NFL circles as a GM. The owner, Shad Khan, said before last season, best team they had. It obviously wasn't. Trevor Lawrence, is he a franchise quarterback? I'm kind of leaning towards not in that level. He might be a tier two guy at best. For Caleb Williams, he's coming off a rookie season where he took his lumps literally, got sacked a ton. They have good receivers, good tight end, good running back. There's workable pieces. But I'll go ahead and buy that Jacksonville might have been where he was leaning because it gets cold in Chicago. But maybe didn't like the infrastructure there with the Jags.
I mean, when you lay it out like that, it seems like an obvious choice. Yeah, give me Caleb Williams. It's more untapped potential, more upside. Still early in his rookie deal. You got money to work with to build around him.
But you look at Jacksonville, it's like, all right, you have Houston. Where's the competition? I mean, I can get these guys in the playoffs first year where, you know, the NFC North, you have Green Bay, you have Minnesota, certainly, and the Lions. Might have been an easier task to get to the top of the standings, you know, with Jacksonville. But either way, it is what it is. NVIDIA 8010.57 The Fan will come back. Cordell Woodland's going to be joining us. Talk about what happened out there. One winning drive. It's John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta met with the media. Got NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Preview the championship games with him, and then we'll look at those games, break them down a little more in depth. As Washington, last time the Commanders played in a Super Bowl, they were the Redskins at the time, the Buffalo Bills. Guest hotline, get his impressions of what was said today and now the offseason. Cordell Woodland. Cordell, appreciate the time as always. We'll start with Mark Andrews. Hasn't spoken to the media. And, you know, we heard played John Harbaugh talking about Andrews and his love and loyalty to the organization and Eric DaCosta as well. But hasn't spoken to the media. Is that something as members of the media and by extension, we're fans. Is that something that's kind of resonating in a negative way right now?
I think so. You know, obviously, Mark has been great for the Ravens since he's been drafted here. I can attest to him being a hard worker and, you know, normally being a guy that's on the front line. And, I mean, look, he's a captain on the team, so he's earned that. I respect Mark a lot. At the same time, I'm disappointed in how he's handled this. Harbs had talked about Mark handling this in a classy way. I kind of disagreed with him a little bit there because he hasn't spoken. I don't even necessarily look at this as him speaking to us, the media. I feel like, and especially in a situation like this, he's speaking to the fans. You know, this is him talking to the fans. He made plays that directly contributed to their season coming to an abrupt end. I mean, as a captain on a team, as a guy that has the respect that he has, he's a stand-up guy by all accounts, but he's got to own that. He's got to own that. So it is disappointing to see Mark kind of ducking and dodging right now.
Now, Vinny said this before we got on the air and reading the quote from Harbs here. When Bateman got the ball inside the two and the Ravens went backwards, had to settle for three, I've been saying, not that they care what I think, they should have just ran Derrick Henry three times. Easier said than done. Hindsight always 20-20, but John Harbaugh had an explanation for what the Bills did defensively. Are you buying that one?
I mean, I bought his what he said. I mean, he talked about the plays that were called and what the Bills did. I mean, you talk about the sort of trick play to Ronnie Stanley on second down. Rewatching that game, you clear as day see Ronnie Stanley go out for a route, but he's covered right away. Credit to the Bills. They were on it. And John, obviously, in hindsight, he said he would have gone about it differently. Whatever the case is, it didn't work. You know, it didn't work. It's easy to you call a run play for Derrick Henry to get stuffed. Oh, I wish I called a pass. Or I wish I called something a bootleg for Lamar or something like that. It's always easy to second guess. But you would imagine a team like the Ravens, anytime they're inside the five and they have Lamar Jackson, Patrick Ricard, and Derrick Henry in their backfield, you expect them to convert. And they didn't. And we can sit here and talk about the play calls all we want. But ultimately, the Ravens' issues come down to them not executing the plays that are called. And sometimes they did call good plays. And Buffalo counteract, you look at that first two-point conversion that was knocked down. I thought that was a good play call. Heck, I thought the Mark Andrews drop was a good play call. Mm-hmm. But you could easily say, yeah, maybe they should have gave it to Henry on at least one of those and seen what happened.
Hey, Cordell, what did you think about, the situation? You think Munkin finds a job or not find a job?
Well, it looks like Saleh is headed, out to Jacksonville to meet with them again.
Okay.
So that's one that you got to worry about with him. My gut is telling me that I don't think Todd's going to get one. And unfortunately, considering, age and all those other factors that come into play, this is probably his last chance to really get an opportunity to become a head coach. But, maybe we see the Ravens do something. I forget what team it was. I just saw the news earlier today that some team ended up giving their offensive coordinator
Tampa,
a new deal.
Tampa,
with Liam. So, maybe that's what the Ravens do because God knows he's earned it. Lamar's won probably about to win MVP back-to-back seasons both years under Todd Monken here recently. This offense has done nothing but take a huge step forward from last year even to this year. So if Todd's here, hopefully, the Ravens have been known as a class organization. I'd hope that they take care of Todd because I think he has earned that.
Hey, Cordell, when we go to OTAs in the spring, who's going to be the left tackle?
I think Rosengarden.
I agree with
you. I think it'll be Rosengarden because, Stanley, look, and it's not a situation where I'm saying I wouldn't bring Stanley back. I would, but it'd have to be under the right price. And unfortunately, especially when you look at last year, Ronnie taking a pay cut, I think he's looking for whatever he can get right now. Every dollar he can get, he's trying to get it. So I kind of think that the open market will kind of take care of this situation for the Ravens. I think some team out there will offer Stanley a contract that the Ravens want no parts of, and they'll happily let Stanley walk, and Stanley will happily go to that team that's giving him the money, and the Ravens feel good about Roger Rosengarten shifting to the left side, and they'll figure out what they want to do at right tackle. But I kind of feel like we've seen the last of Ronnie Stanley in Baltimore.
You know what? I thought one of the interesting things, what Harbs talked about was, to me, the Justin Tucker thing, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that during the season while he's having his struggles, like this is kind of uncharted territory with Tucker because we aren't used to seeing him struggle to this level. Like we saw him struggle with the 50-plus yard field goals and stuff, but he was struggling all over the place, missing extra points too this year. I mean, it's just that was not the Justin Tucker that we're used to seeing, a Justin Tucker that doesn't play with confidence. Because he's a very confident guy. But like Harb said, it showed that he's human. I thought he did bounce back after the bye week. Granted, he didn't have many high-pressure situations. But look, every opportunity he got to go out there and take a kick, he made it. So you got to give him credit for that. I do think they'll give other guys a look. But I would be absolutely shocked if Justin Tucker isn't the kicker come week one.
Cordell Woodland, Shaking It Up Sports, our Ravens and Orioles insiders. Eric DaCosta said the offseason has now begun for him earlier than anticipated. Ravens have the 27th pick in the draft. Mel Kiper's mocking them, taking a cornerback at 27. As we try to get into that level of a crystal ball, where should they go, 27, best player available, or draft for need?
I'm always best player available in the first round. And look, some of their needs are some of these high, you know, profile type of positions. I think they need a stud pass rusher. They need a safety. I don't think another, you know, weapon offensively could hurt. They need a tackle right now. So, you know, I think all of those are positions that could be available for them. Maybe they need another linebacker for all we know, you know. So I think they have quite a few needs, and I would imagine that best player available would fall under all the needs that they have. But a lot has to happen between now and then, and we've seen good play. It's tougher, obviously, to draft quality, game-changing players that late in the first round, but it's definitely possible. So we'll see. Eric has already said he's gotten started on looking at some of these guys and stuff. He said today he was looking at safeties today. So, you know, I do think they'll be able to find a player that hopefully can help them immediately.
Cordell Woodland, shaking it up. Sports, our Ravens and Orioles insider. Cordell, always appreciate the time. We will catch up with you soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
There's Cordell, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, reset the program for you. NFL launch, 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Preview the championship games with him as Buffalo goes to Kansas City. Underdogs and Washington, Philly, round three. But you referenced the Justin Tucker thing.
Yeah.
And for those of us who weren't there, what exactly was that in reference to?
Yeah, because Harb's talked that he had a long conversation yesterday with Justin Tucker. And, you know, Justin Tucker was telling, you know, they were discussing between the two of them that, you know, Justin, a lot of these kickers go through these slumps early in their career. Justin Tucker was like year 13. So with him, and John was saying, he knew what he was doing wrong, but it's all between the ears, and there was nobody that could help him other than himself. And he had to figure it out for himself, because he'd go to practice. John was saying he'd go to practice, he'd drill them, you know, and everything would be right. Then get to the games, and then it became like a challenge for Tucker that, you know, I got to win this situation. This is a challenge for me. So he took it like as a challenge to get over the hump. And he did. I mean, what do you make? 23 straight since
then?
Didn't
miss after the bye.
And, you know, and somebody asked Eric, are you going to bring in competition? We may bring in guys, but I expect Justin Tucker to be the kicker next year.
Yeah, this isn't a Billy Cundiff situation where he loses the job in training camp. But the one moment with Justin Tucker that stood out to me, when he was missing early in the season, he's hooking it left.
Yep.
He keeps missing left. Tried to overcorrect against the Eagles and missed to the right.
Yep.
And that's kind of, I guess, maybe the rock bottom moment for him. But then they went into the bye, looked like he was kicking more from the right hash, and he was drilling him right down the middle from there on out.
And Bob, when he lined up for what, 47-yarder, Buffalo?
Yeah.
I mean, drilled that right down the middle.
Yes, he did.
You know, so, I mean, yeah, he figured a way through it, and I give him credit for that. And I anticipate there may be some challenges, but how can you go in there with a rookie, Bob, and saying, well, he beat out? No. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know what Justin Tucker's going to do. The one thing they did say, Bob, and Harbs did talk about, was he feels really good about the kick returners, because that basically is a running back. He said with the new way of the kicking team stuff, that running backs fit perfectly in that. And I like Keaton Mitchell, I like Justice Hill, and I like Ali returning kicks. Punt return? That's a totally different deal. We got to find – that is takes a special guy to do that, special quality to do that. We got to find that guy. They don't have that guy, in his opinion.
Now, we just talked about Ronnie Stanley with Cordell.
Yeah.
And what gives us reason, and he's a free agent, which we talked about yesterday.
And McCary.
That they're going to head out to the highway, a little Judas Priest style.
Well, you know what? Like, when I heard Eric talk, and he says, we like our young guys, you know, we like the development, we have some young guys and stuff, and kind of reading between the lines, what you feel like, I can see All right, that tells me Rosengarten to left tackle, young guy, cheap. Voorhees at left guard, because he did talk about how the young guys developed and how they got better and all that kind of stuff too. So you see that. Then I guess the question to me then would, who would be the right, all they got is right tackle spot. That would be, you know, do they have that guy? I don't know that they got the guy on the roster. Now, they're going to draft some linemen, he said. They got 11 picks.
Now, we were, and we'll talk more about this with Ryan Wilson in a couple of minutes, but Mel Kiper did his mock draft as the Ravens taking a cornerback at pick 27. Obviously, we're still months away from this becoming reality. Shavon Ravel out of East Carolina, who's had a torn ACL in September, and best player available, sounds more like a area of need, but September he tore his ACL. Big guy, 6'3", as Mel writes, but is he going to be ready to rock and roll once camp gets here?
Yeah.
That's a draft for the future kind of deal, it sounds like, unless he's a quick healer, of course.
Still, though, I mean, you look at, I don't know, Bob. Like when Mel asked me, I said, it depends on what they do with TJ Tampa. You know, if Tampa plays safety, then they probably need a corner. If not, then they need a safety. So they're going to. Well, Bob, all you got is Humphrey, correct? All you got is Humphrey and Wiggins.
Yeah.
Armour, Davis, but forget, I mean, guys that you can count on.
Yeah.
You got two. Stevens is.
His number of games played on his jersey.
Yeah.
Five.
And Bob, you know what's funny? Somebody asked him about, what did you think of Brandon Stevens? It was like, well, he probably didn't have the year that he thought he had, you know. And then, I mean, Eric was like, all right, I got to think about this, you know, to try to be nice. He ain't.
By all metrics, he was bad.
Oh, he was awful.
Yeah, not even the nerd stats can portray him in a positive situation here.
Well, like Eric said, you know, he helped us win a lot of games, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, what? He hadn't played corner but 4 years. He was a running back.
Got that, yeah.
So, Bob, in reality, they do need a corner, too. I mean, they don't have a lot there.
What do you think, Nolan? Brandon Stevens coming back? Would you be for it or again?
No. No need to run that back. I mean, it's over.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly, Ravens fans and the Ravens themselves, DaCosta in particular, should be thankful that it is this easy of a decision.
Yeah.
You know, if he played halfway decent, then you'd have back-to-back seasons where he was quality and very good the year prior, and that would probably be enough evidence for them to say, all right, we're willing to sit down and work out a long-term deal. Now they're not handcuffed to him. So
we talked about it earlier when you were gone. Yeah. I don't see him being an attractive free agent target for other teams.
No.
So if he, you know, get him on a really, really, really
cheap
team-friendly deal, do you at least kick the tires on that, or is it like somebody other than Brandon Stevens is going to be wearing number 21 out at rookie minicamp?
I would say that. Bob, because he has not changed. He still can't find a ball, no matter what. Now, if I'm the Ravens and he's playing at Team X and we're playing him, what do you think to Todd Monken? You think Lamar's going to throw the deep route? Of course.
Multiple
you know,
times.
I would rather play against him than have him play for me.
Go ahead.
Sorry, not like he's better on the inside. So you're saying, okay, well, we bring him back and just move him and try to make that work. It's not going to work anywhere.
Still can't find a ball. He's going to be right next to the guy, but the guy's going to catch it.
Andrews had a forgettable game.
Yes.
Stevens had a forgettable season. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back. NFL Lunch here from John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta. When we come back, talk about the draft a little bit with Ryan Wilson and certainly the championship games, and we'll go down those matchups with you. Coming up at 1:30, got the Funhouse, Nolan McGraw around 1:45, and then Inside Access takes over at 2:00. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. It's a cold one in Baltimore.